I did not realize I would be speaking in such a big room. Because I wanted to ask you some questions at some point during our discussion today. So I hope you are already thinking about being ready to raise your hand and answer some questions. Today we're going to talk about how you can do a Bible study with a friend who is not a Christian to help them learn more about Jesus. And we'll talk about how you can choose some stories about Jesus from the Bible, some questions that you can ask your friend so that they can learn more about Jesus. So let me start by praying for us. God, thank you that you love us and that you love our friends. God, would you teach us more about how we can help our friends know you? God, would you teach us from Scripture today and help us to know you more and understand the ways that you are already at work in our friends' lives? Would you guide us and work through us? In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm Amy Costello. I work for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. And as part of what we do on campus in working with students, we have small groups, and then we also have some discussions with friends about Jesus. And during my sharing today, I will tell a story about Wayne and Caleb. And Caleb first... Caleb is a Christian leader in InterVarsity, and he met Wayne. Wayne had some spiritual interest, but it was too intimidating to go to the men's small group, because everybody in the men's small group already knew the Bible and had all the answers. And Wayne thought, I don't know anything about the Bible, so I shouldn't go to the small group. And so Caleb said, well, why don't you and I just study the Bible together? And so Wayne was excited about that. And so they started some discussions about Jesus from the Bible. And later in my sharing, I'll tell you what happens next. And so that's what I'll be talking about today. In InterVarsity, we call them GIGs, Groups Investigating God. And there's a very handy guide that can be available to you if you are interested. So before I go further, I want to hear about your friends. The friends that you have, what do they think about Jesus and spiritual things? So you can raise your hand and tell me about your friends.
If I stand here, does it make it easier to tell me about your friends?
People sometimes I think God is cool, but it's not my business.
Okay. Yeah. So God is good, but it's none of my business. Great. What else do they think? Okay, so they never heard about God or Jesus or anything. Yeah, thank you. So, atheist or Jesus is one of many gods. Great. Great. Thanks for telling me about your friends. I think offering to look at some Bible stories about Jesus can be a very accessible way for our friends to learn more. And I'm going to show you what one of those Bible studies looks like, and I expect it to take about 20 minutes. So hopefully it's a short time, but also helps people meet Jesus and know him. And it's also created to be very accessible for people who've never heard of God or Jesus before, and can clarify some things about what people believe already. So that's what we'll be talking about. So let's start by reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip was one of the followers of Jesus. He was chosen as a leader in the church. And then this is a story of what happened to him. So Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So I have two main questions from this passage. The first one is, how is God involved in this story? So where do you see God involved or at work in this story? Yeah, great. So we see it at the end when Philip disappears and appears somewhere else. Yeah, good. Where else do we see God at work? Yeah. Yes, where does the Holy Spirit show up? Yeah, great. So it starts out with the Holy Spirit saying, "Go to that chariot." Good.
God made the fool, like Isaiah, happen to me. Right?
Yes. So all the coincidences, he just happens to be reading a passage that's about Jesus at the right moment. Great. Other thoughts? So we see also at the beginning of the angel of the Lord, which is, I think, also the Holy Spirit, tells Philip to go south to this road. And at first, Philip doesn't know why he's going. He's just told to go walk somewhere. And it's when he gets there that he sees the possibilities. So what is Philip's, what do we learn about Philip? About his character or his response to the Holy Spirit? Yeah, great. So Philip responds in obedience and also immediately to what the Holy Spirit says. Great. What else do you learn about Philip? Yeah. So the Ethiopian says, why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip says, yes, and immediately responds to where the Ethiopian is at in his faith and responds and baptizes him. Great. Okay. Any other ideas? I also see Philip's knowledge of Scripture. He recognizes the passage from Isaiah and is also knows Jesus well enough that he can go from that passage of Scripture and explains the good news about Jesus. And so Philip knows Jesus and is prepared to use Scripture to share about Jesus. So I think the main things we can see from this passage is that the Holy Spirit is already at work in our friends and those we'll meet. When Philip first meets the Ethiopian, he had already been to Jerusalem and was worshiping God. He didn't know Jesus, but he had some spiritual interest and had taken action to find out more. He also just so happened to be reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip saw what God was doing in the Ethiopian and then stepped up and responded to that. So Philip asks, do you understand what you are reading? So he asks a question to take the conversation deeper. He doesn't just walk beside the chariot. He's reading Isaiah. I bet the person God wants me to meet is further on down the road. He sees that God is at work there, and he responds to what God is doing and asks questions and explains from Scripture. So this is, I think, a good example of what we would hope to do with our friends, to recognize where God is already at work in them. Maybe you've seen a movie together, or and they had questions and there were spiritual themes in the movie. Sorry, most of my examples are from college students. So, or maybe that you're working with someone and issues of integrity come up and someone asks you why you didn't steal the software like they might have. And so as you see like spiritual interest or people being interested in what you believe, you can respond to that and ask them more questions. Try to be a treasure hunter to see where is God already at work. And so to do that, maybe one thing you want to start doing is to regularly ask God, how are you at work in my friends? And to keep your eyes open, what need are my friends expressing? What do they feel like their needs are? And how does Jesus answer those needs for them? And can you start a conversation around that? Or asking what your friends believe about God already, and talking from there to see how God is at work. Or maybe one of my students, who was not a Christian when I met him, he had been going down a river with his youth group leader and basically felt like he was almost going to die because his boat flipped over and it was a bad situation. But then someone was there to rescue him. And he saw in that, like, he felt like God saved his life. And so maybe some of your friends, there are coincidences or things that happen, and they can say, wow, that's not normal. Maybe somebody is looking out for me. And so catch and see that spiritual interest. And then you can respond to that like Philip did, by asking God, God, how do you want to work through me? I also want to encourage you to pick two of your friends and pray for them regularly. And as you pray for them, also look for opportunities to share about Jesus with them. So that's a challenge to you. Pick two friends and pray for them regularly. So in this passage in Acts, we see that God's already at work in people. He was at work in the Ethiopian. He is at work in our friends. And so God wants to work through us to help people know him. And so I want to talk more specifically about how do you use scripture? How do you look at stories about Jesus to help your friends know him? And so what could that look like? I randomly met my friend Jane at the Phipps Conservatory in Pittsburgh. So it's a place where there's like gardens and it's inside and it's beautiful all year round. And I was there with my InterVarsity team and we had a prayer retreat. So we were there praying and journaling. And this girl comes up to me and she says, "What are you doing?" And so I'm mostly honest and say I'm like talking to God and thinking about spiritual imagination, which I was. And she gets all excited and it's like, "Oh, imagination and spiritual things. Wow, so cool." And so we start talking. And so I see in that, oh, she has spiritual interest. This idea of spiritual things really caught her attention. And so we agree to meet up again for coffee and just to get to know each other more and talk about spiritual things. So we meet up and we talk. And then I ask her, "Hey, would you be interested in looking at some stories about Jesus with me? You don't have to know anything already. We can just meet up for coffee and we'll just talk a little bit about these stories and see what you think and see how you think they matter to life." And so she agreed and we met up again and we talked through some basic Bible stories, like the story of the prodigal son, the son who runs away and is welcomed back by the father. And we met up a couple times, and then I felt like maybe she wasn't so interested anymore. And so also it took a lot of time to prepare, so I didn't want to prepare anymore. So I stopped doing the Bible studies with her. About 6 months later, I'm feeling convicted by God that it would be good to continue to study the Bible with her. And so I ask her again, "What do you think about going back to studying the stories about Jesus?" And she says, "Oh yeah, that was great. That was a lot of fun. I felt like you had great insight and I learned a lot from it." And so she was excited to do it and excited to learn and talk about spiritual things. And I thought that she really wasn't that interested. And so that's sort of what it might look like, meeting up for coffee or for dinner with somebody and bringing out your Bible and bring a Bible for them and reading a paragraph or so of a story about Jesus and talking about it. So it looks like an invitation, actually meeting up, reading and talking about stories about Jesus from the Bible, talking about how it matters to life. And then eventually, after you've been in meeting a little while, it's good to ask your friends where they are in their spiritual journey, or do they want to follow Jesus? So I talked a little bit about invitations and looking for friends with spiritual interest, and then being able to invite somebody to read the Bible with you as a result. You can connect with the interest they've already expressed, and you can say you'll just meet once and then offer to meet with them a few more times after that also. Great. So I thought it would be good to do an example of what this could look like for you. And so would somebody be willing to volunteer to read? Would one of you like to read a story about Jesus from the Bible with me? And you don't have to know anything already. You don't have to already be prepared. I'll ask the questions, and we'll look together at the Bible to see what it says. So would somebody be willing to volunteer with me? Okay, great. Yes, I have a passage in mind. I already prepared it. So, great. So we're going to look at Mark 1, verses 40 to 45. So it's pretty short, too. And so just for some background on this passage, Jesus had been traveling all over the Galilee area, and he was teaching, and he was healing people. And in that time period, there was very limited medicine. And so that Jesus could heal people brought people a lot of hope. And sometimes there were lots of people around him trying who had sicknesses and different diseases, and they were trying to be healed. And so this story will be about a man with leprosy. And leprosy is a skin disease, and at that time there was no known cure for it. And also, lepers were thought to be unclean. So they had to go outside of the community, live by themselves, have no connection with their old friends and families. And so they were completely cut off from their community. And also, those who were unclean could not go to the temple to worship God. So they were also cut off from God in some ways. And so it was easy to think there was no hope and there were no connections. But one day Jesus and his friends were alone on a road outside of town, and so this man with leprosy saw them and saw his chance to be healed and came near to Jesus. Would you like to read a passage for us?
Okay.
Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Are we using the same version here? I'm using New International Version here. Okay. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Great, thank you. So the first question is there anything from this passage that strikes you or that stands out to you?
Oh, still my... Okay, yep. I thought you just want me to read. Okay, you want me to answer the question
yeah.
too. Okay. Okay, could you repeat the question again?
Is there anything that stands out to you? Or that's yeah. new information or that
Oh, it's not
you?
A new information. I'm just trying to catch up here because... Okay. I don't have a lot of experience learning Bible in English here most of the time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I want to learn in Chinese, so I'm trying to catch up here.
Okay. That's fine. It'll be like you're my non-Christian friend that I'm talking with.
Okay. Well, first of all, this guy with a lot of... he's very brave here, okay? Because usually those are the people, they are left behind. They're not mm-hmm. supposed to approach people because they have to live by themselves, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So this guy definitely has a lot of a braveness there. Also,
yeah.
he has some kind of a confidence because mm-hmm. a lot of people, they probably just sit there and waiting to be saved. But this guy really has a lot of... confidence. He thinks Jesus can help him, okay, to cure him,
mm-hmm.
okay. So he has a confidence. He has
yeah.
a trust on Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
As it said here, it's filled with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, to me, it's kind of confidence here.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
So do you have any questions about the passage, about this story?
Not much. We read this many times, so not
okay.
really. Not from my personal experience here.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Let's see. So what... the leper said, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
Uh-huh.
So what did he want? What do you think he wanted?
He wanted to be cured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He yeah. wanted to be... the same as the normal people
mm-hmm.
because he felt like he's different. He's kind of left behind from the normal people. He wants to have a normal life. That's it.
Yeah.
yeah. So he has a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he believes that Jesus can help him to bring his life back to normal.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks, right?
Yeah, that's okay. great. You brought out a lot of things that... he wants not only to be healed, but he wants that connection again.
Yes.
With people and with God.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. So Jesus, in other stories, he healed somebody just by saying it. But how does that compare to in this story?
Okay. Let me see which verse here. Jesus reached out his hand and touched a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that Jesus might have done that?
Because it says here, filled with compassion.
Mm.
Or actually, it's Jesus filled with compassion.
Yeah.
So Jesus somehow was touched by this guy. He's very convinced by this guy's, you know, briefness here. So
mm-hmm.
I guess that's the reason.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Yeah, and also probably when lepers were not supposed to touch anyone else and could not be touched.
Right.
Jesus
yes,
breaks
you're right.
the rules.
That's correct.
To touch him and show that compassion that
that's
you,
correct.
You mentioned.
Yeah. That's correct. That's yeah. this yeah. That's the that's the way that normally the people will not touch those guys,
yeah.
those people with the sickness here. But Jesus breaks the law, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
So is there any way in which you can relate to this story?
Well, yeah, a lot of things here. First of all, well, you got to have a hope, right?
Yeah.
You need to have a hope here.
Mm-hmm.
If people, they don't care about it, so it's kind of hard to convince them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look into the inside of the people to see where the hope is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you can bring their hope to the connection with God there.
Yeah.
That's the place you can start with. Yeah.
yeah.
And also, sometimes people, what do I say? When they are in the poor situation, sometimes they have more need
mm-hmm.
to be helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is another place we can, you know, break in to get in to have a conversation about God there. Okay.
Yeah.
And also, I guess here, I'm thinking of maybe sometime we need to sacrifice ourselves here. In this case, Jesus is God. Maybe he doesn't care about leprosy here. But in some cases, as a human being, we're all normal human beings. So if we reach out to help people, sometimes we need to sacrifice ourselves.
Yeah.
And even a life or money or time, a lot of things you can mention about. So
yeah,
that's another place I can think of.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good insights.
Oh, thank you.
We do see from this story that Jesus communicated his love and power to this man.
Yeah.
And so with one touch, Jesus gave him back his health, his self-respect, his community, his ability to connect to God. And so I think we all have like difficult problems in our lives. And so like for you, if you met Jesus, like what problem might you ask him to help you with?
If I were to ask Jesus what I need from him,
yeah,
I probably would ask for to be with God every day, basically. You can ask everything, but I think to me, most importantly, to be with God, to let God lead my life, lead my life everywhere, and my work, at home, church, everywhere, to be with me. I think that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
I would ask for.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think for me, if I were, I often get caught up in whether I've done something good enough. And so I think I would ask God to help me know that I'm loved and that that God cares for me. And so to really know that, I think would be something I would want Jesus to help me with.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Am I done?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That was terrific. And so that's a little example of what a Bible study might look like. I think that took about 15 minutes. You could probably go longer. I'm sorry, it's Terry? Also, Terry gave me very Christian answers, but they're very insightful. So your friends may have surprising insights as well, or may be able to bring out really good things from the passage, and you can respond to that. You maybe also noticed I asked the questions, and Terry gave an answer, and then I also gave an answer. And so even if your friend says something that's the wrong answer, you can kind of still give your perspective and your answer on it. And so it's still a discussion between us, but I'm asking most of the questions. And at the end, we not only want to talk about Jesus and the story, but also ask, how does this relate to life today? And so that can help our friends connect with Jesus and see that the Bible is not just some old book that has no relevance, but is still really relevant today. And also at the end, I asked, let me reread my question. Yeah, if you met Jesus, what problem would you ask him to help you with? And so not only can you relate to the story, but also you are kind of applying the story by thinking about what change or what would it look like to talk with Jesus about this. And Terry shared one thing, and I also shared too. So my friend learns by looking at Jesus in the story, and also learns from my experience as well. And so it's easy to share, and it's easy to disagree in some ways. If your friend disagrees, they're disagreeing with the Bible and not with you. And so, like, it's not what I think and what you think and what I think and what you think, but rather let's both look at the Bible and see what it says. And our answers will be based on that. And so I think that can make it easier to have discussions than just talking about what I believe and you believe. So going back to the same story for discussion. So our time is almost up. Are there any questions that you have, things that I mentioned or that I need to clarify or other questions?
I think in most cases, we may not know what we want. So in that case, if I talk to some of my friends, I may see the need in her, but I feel it's hard to bring up, you know, how do I say, oh, I think you need this from Jesus. I can see the need. I find, you know, there's Jesus can only Jesus can meet that need. How would you, you know, break the ice?
Yeah, and I think a lot of times our friends will not want to share very openly with us, at least in the first meeting. And so I think it's okay if they give a surface answer to say, that's great. And then to when you share, you have a chance to take it deeper. And so if you think your friend has a particular need, if you see that need in your own life, then share from your own life. My need is this, and this is how I saw Jesus meet it. And so first by sharing your own stories, and then later asking more questions that help them see it themselves. So if it were me, I wouldn't point out to them until maybe you've done a few studies and kind of saying in general, God, like, we all have a desire to connect with God. We are spiritual, and so kind of bringing up that need. And maybe another thing to consider is thinking about choosing a Bible passage that discusses that need and how Jesus meets it. Yeah, great question. Thank you. Other questions? Good. If you have no questions, then I'm sure you are all ready to go out this week and invite your friend to look at a Bible story with you, a story about Jesus from the Bible with you. Yeah. Great. And I want to encourage you too. God sends us as his ministers to share the gospel with others because it's good news. And it's about God's grace and love for all people. And so we want to share, and we want to be courageous in sharing and faithful to God. But their response is not up to us. And so if we ask somebody, hey, do you want to look at a story about Jesus with me? And they say no, then you rock because you were faithful to God. You asked the question. You invited them. And it's between God and them what their response is. So don't think if you ask somebody and they say no, that is not a failure. That is a victory because you did what God called you to do. And so sometimes our friends may say no, and sometimes they may say yes. And then when our friends say yes, we celebrate that too because God is working in them. But our actions is what we can control and what God holds us to. So be encouraged. Even if your friends say no, you are still doing what God calls you to do. Yeah. And I think that's all I have. Oh, though I can let you know, I have three of these. I bought them for $3, so if you would like one, you can buy it for $3 from me. In the back, there are four Bible studies, similar to the one I just did here. And so you can use this guide to ask questions with your friends. Also, I have my flash drive, so I can give to Jerry. I have this guide on my computer. And I also have an international gig guide, which may be easier to connect with your friends. And that's also on my computer, so you can get that from Jerry also. So it and the study we did today is from that international guide, and there are four studies in that. So it's really easy to use, and it also has lots of advice about inviting people and everything. It is for the campus context, so you'll have to translate it into your own context, but I think it's still a really helpful guide for us. So let me pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you again that you have reached out to us, that you have brought whole healing in our lives, that you have helped us connect with you and connect in this community. God, I pray that you would help us and work through us to think and pray about our friends, to see the ways that they are spiritually interested and seeking after you in their own ways. God, help us to see those and connect to those things and take conversations deeper. God, I pray that you would give us opportunities in the next week and month to invite friends to look at a story about Jesus with us. And God, would we have opportunities to share about you with our friends, to share what Jesus has done for us and for them. God, would you work through us, and would you be at work in our friends, drawing them closer to you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.